If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. All search for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. Lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, you receive it. You can feel it, somebody testify. You believe it, you receive it. You can feel it, somebody testify. You believe it, you receive it. You can feel it, somebody testify. Got pain, he's a pain taker. He's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning. Y'all finally wake up? Some of you are still sleeping here, okay? I have a glass of water up here, so just remember one thing. I can throw it from here way back there. How many of you are really impressed with the world today? Huh? You impressed with it? Not impressed, okay. You know, we're living a day and time, and I've been pretty... If I can say it, I'll give you the word that I use. I'm pretty ticked off about what's going on. And I'll tell you why. Because I stood and defended this country for 22 long years, and I'm sick of seeing what's happening. We have become a nation that has lost the concept of why we're here. We don't understand anything anymore. The world has gone crazy. And when I think about it for just a minute, I think about all the things that have happened just in the last few months of pandemic. None of the things that we're seeing were supposed to have happened if you look at the way we feel about it. God has allowed everything that we see from back in February or January to this very day today afternoon to happen for one reason, to get our attention. And we still have not learned a lesson. I want you to realize something this morning. God is going to continue to do what God wants to do, whether you like it or I like it or not. Does that make a difference? God's going to do what God's going to do. And even though these people that are trying to destroy our nation today with him, and that's what they're doing, not outside, it's with him, my friends, they're not going to win the battle. My Father in heaven defeated death, hell, and the grave through Jesus Christ, your Savior and my Savior. He gave us that victory. My Lord in heaven, through Jesus Christ, is still going to give us victory today because he has given us a new life and a new beginning. But we need to start acting like we have a new life and a new beginning as Christians. We sat on the sideline too long and done nothing. You know, I talk to a lot of people on and off, and everybody has the same opinion. What are we going to do? First of all, you need to pray and seek the Lord. That's the first thing you got to do. But you got to be sincere in your prayer life. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. I'm going to talk to you on the subject today, verses 13 through 17, securities against a hostile world we live in. Securities against a hostile world. And we are living in hostile times. You may not feel it as much right here in Northumberland County or in the Northern Neck, but it's here. And it's going to continue to rise more and more and more. There's an escalating hostility toward the biblical Christianity and the principles that you and I live by or should be living by. Do like Paul. Don't be ashamed to say you're a Christian. Don't be ashamed to say that you love God's word. Don't be ashamed to say that Jesus Christ is alive and well. Stand on what you believe. Because unless we stand on what we believe, my friends, the turmoil of the world is going to keep pushing us down, down, and down. And before long, where are we going to be? Total destruction. This lesson and this scripture this morning is going to tie into my sermon next week for the 4th of July weekend. And I pray that you'll understand. You and I are going to be persecuted as Christians. We're seeing a little bit more and more every day. We have already been persecuted because of what has happened through the pandemic. What was the first thing that got closed? Churches. What did they leave open? Abortion clinics. Bars, places like that. What does that tell you right up front? Man does not have a concept of who God is. And we need to get back to the basics, and I call this 101, the securities God has given to us to live by every day. Please stand with me in reverence to the reading of God's word. 1 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 13. He said, "And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteous sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience. That whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ." Now listen to this verse. "For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." If I'm going to suffer, let it be for the good things and not the bad things. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Your word is precious. But it's also alive, and it touches lives, it touches hearts, and it changes people every day. Today I ask, Father, to use this time that I may use it wisely to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and the securities that you've given us in a hostile world we live in today. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Go back to verse 13 with me. "And who is he?" 1 Peter, yeah, 1 Peter. Did I say 2nd? Okay, there is 2nd Peter. I can preach from that too if you want. First Peter, chapter 3, okay? First Peter, chapter 3. I do that sometimes. As a preacher, you'll say this. I do that to see if you were paying attention. Amen. One for me. But think about it for just a minute. Verse 13 of chapter 3, 1 Peter. Look what he said. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Now, when you think about being good, a passion for goodness today, Peter's rhetorical question shows that it is what they call a universal type request. Why? Because most people today, if you look at the world we live in, wrong is good and good is wrong. You understand that? Wrong is good and good is wrong. I mean, why is that? It's because the world we live in does not have a concept of which way we're going, what direction to take today. If you're going to do anything for the Lord today, remember this. What he said in this verse here, he said, who is it that can harm you? Nobody can harm you. Why? Because the Lord said in John 10, he said this, said the Father has put you into my hand. And who's in my hand, he said, nobody can pluck you out of that hand. He said, you are sealed, you're protected to the day of redemption, he said, you are right here. And unless the Lord allows something to happen to you, my friends, this world cannot do anything to you. Nothing. Because God is in control. But we as Christians today are living a defeated life because I think we don't understand what victory is all about. Victory is in Jesus Christ. Victory is in the cross of Calvary. Victory is in his ascension. Victory is when he comes back again and descends to this earth one more time to take us home. And you and I will have total victory in a glorified body with Jesus Christ. Who is there to harm us today? Ourselves. Nobody but us. And we're letting the world overcome us by what I call the uncertainties around us today. What has happened to our love of mankind? What has happened to love of our country, the land of the home, you know, and of the brave and all that we talk about all the time? What has happened to the red, white, and blue that we talk about, the flag of the United States of America? What's happening now with the Star Spangled Banner, amen? Huh? Everybody's trying to do what? Suppress us and say, we don't need this and we don't need the cross of Calvary. We don't need a country that's living for God anymore. We need a country that can be controlled by just a few people and you'll be suppressed for the rest of your life. My friend, the Bible doesn't teach me that. The Bible teaches me that we are alive, we're well, and we're doing good because God is still alive. God's still on the throne and nobody's going to ever remove him from that throne. See, we have a problem today. Why? It is a heart problem. We have a heart problem because people don't understand the love that you and I have for Jesus Christ. And that love should be generated from here to this world we live in today. When was the last time you were confronted about your Christianity? When was the last time you stood up and said, I am a born-again believer in Jesus Christ? I like the song that Shay did. Somebody needs to testify once in a while, you know, to say, you know, what has God done for me? What has God done for you? Most of us act like nothing. He has given you life. He's given you liberty. He's given you a pursuit of happiness through his precious word and through his son, Jesus Christ. And that's what we are to live by today. So who can harm you in this life if you be followers of that which is good? God is good. We can say it. God is good all the time God is good. How many of you believe that? Huh? He is. Who's changed it? Who changed his precious word? Man has changed the precious word to say what it should say for them instead of saying what God has for us. You can make anything sound good. You know that? You can make anything sound good. God's word is a word that is convicting to mankind. That's why mankind doesn't like God's word. Because when it says, thou shalt not, that's what God meant. But the world today says, it's okay, I will do what I want, when I want, where I want, with who I want, at any time, place, or anything. That's how we live today. Is that the right way to live? No. How many times do I have to preach and say, love the Lord thy God with heart, mind, and soul? You remember that? Huh? You remember the sermons a couple of weeks ago? How many times do you have to preach that? I can preach that sermon every single Sunday, and you still won't get it. You know why? We have no concern. We have no concern. I want the world to realize, I want people to realize one thing in church. Church is church. We are God's children. And we're not to walk away from God. We're to walk to God when problems happen. And if we would do that, we'd be better off than we are right now. You see, it's the goodness of God's people that will keep this world where it needs to be. But when we give up and throw in the towel, what happens? They'll run over top of us. And we will have no recourse. Really? No, I do have recourse. I have a Father that I can seek through prayer. I have a Father that I can seek through the Scripture. I have people that I can pray with, and we can pray together. I have a lot of recourse, don't I? Because I'm going to go to the one that can take care of all of it, not just a little bit of it. He can take care of all of it. God can end this world today. He can end the calamity that's going on in the world today, just like that. It's over. He can do that. But why is it going like it is? Because the Bible said there will be turmoil. There'll be fighting. There'll be riots. There'll be destruction. Have you ever gone back and how many of y'all took history in high school? Huh? How many of you learned history in high school? How many of you didn't care about history in high school? Okay, good. All right. I remember when we studied history from the beginning of when this nation started. And after I had history, I went back and took geography and learned about all the countries, right? I remember taking geography and I said to myself, what is it good for me to take geography? I said, I could care less about those countries. I live here. Well, when I was in the military, I went to all those countries, most of them. And I said to myself, I saw why I live in the United States and why I love this country. Because if you've ever been overseas to some of these places, maybe some of you have, you're glad to get back home. I was always glad to get back home. You know why? Because they didn't have Big Boy over there. They didn't have Burger King over there. They didn't have nothing over there. I missed all that good stuff. But the problem is this. We have to know history. And we need to know it from back at the time of when the Bible started, right up to this very day. Because you cannot take away what God has put together. And that's why we have a God-fearing nation still, barely hanging on by a thread, but we're still a God-fearing nation. Look what he said in verse 14. But and if ye suffer for righteous sake, happy are ye. Really? How many of y'all are happy to suffer for Jesus? I don't see too many happy faces out here. Are we happy? That's what he said. Look what he said. Peter said, but and if ye suffer for righteous sake, he said, and you're happy, and be not what? Afraid of their terror. Now, aren't we seeing that today? Are we afraid of it today? How many of you got a gun loaded sitting on your desk at night besides me? You know, I'm the person that will tell you, I'll throw the good book at them, but there's something going to follow, and it might not be the good book. Let me tell you what. We ought to be smart enough to protect ourselves daily through God's word, through our relationship, and to protect our families. We have to. The Bible didn't tell me not to protect them. What does the Bible say? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You know what he said? What is our responsibility, men? To protect our families. You understand that? We're to protect our families. And what does he say? By whatever means you need to protect your family, you protect your family. That's what you do. I remember when in the military, and some of y'all may remember this too, yourselves when you were in the military, you know, you are what they call expendable. You remember that? You remember that? You are expendable. I said, what do you mean I'm expendable? I want to live right. I don't want to die today. You're expendable. And when I was on those warships, I'm thinking to myself, we were in a battle zone in Vietnam and places like that. It was like one shell is history, you know? And you think about those things. What were we doing? What were we doing in the military? Just like today, what did we do? We served to defend you, to have the right to live your life in a free country. You hear that? Defended you to have the right to live your life in a free nation. That's what we're here for. How many of us went on the battlefield and were worried about dying? When you're on a battlefield and the battle comes, let me tell you what, you don't think about death. You think about survival and about getting through the battle that you're going through. Now, let me take it a step further. In our Christian walk of life as a Christian, we are on a battlefield. And if I'm going to go through the battle, as a Christian on the battlefield, I'm not going to be following some admiral or some general or somebody like that. I'm going to follow the Creator on the battlefield, because He's going to lead the way, and we are going to follow in His footsteps along the way. He has given us strength in the battle. Always. King David, little David, about 16 years of old. You know the story. Him and Goliath, right? And you remember what the general did. You remember old Saul? He said, yeah, who's going to fight for us? And what did David say? He said, they're defiling who? They're defiling God's army. You're God's army. Why are you standing up here afraid? And what Saul do? He said, here, take my armor bearer, you know, put that on. You know, can you see that now, Billy? There's a little run out there, right? Got this armor on him. He said, I can't wear this stuff. He took it off, and he said, okay, go. And what did that Philistine say? He said, is this the best you got? Is this the best you got? This little runt coming down here running at me with a sling in his hand and a few little stones in his pocket? And what did David say? The Lord will give me victory this day. Did David run and hide? No, David didn't run and hide. David stood his ground because who was on his side? He said, I fought a bear and I beat it. I fought a lion and I beat the lion too. Why? Because God gave me the strength to be able to overcome those issues. And when he met Goliath on the battlefield and running down there, and the Goliath, think about this now. What, about 9 foot tall? He wasn't no midget, I'm going to tell you. Big man. David had to have somebody carry his armor for him because he was so big, the shield and all, because he was so big. And David come down and he's laughing, you know. Wouldn't you laugh? Wouldn't you laugh if you were Goliath and all of a sudden this little runt's running at you with a sling in his hand like this? You know, and he's going, come on, come on. And all of a sudden when he turned that thing loose, it struck him between the eyes and down he went. Who got victory that day? Not David. God got victory through David for the nation of Israel. That same God that gave David the strength to defeat that army and defeat that Philistine that day is the same God that gives us the strength to endure what's coming in this nation today. But we have to do what? We have to remember we're on a battlefield and we got to quit running and quit hiding and we need to stand up for what we believe. And until we do that, nothing is going to change. That's why it's important. We live by the oracle of God's word. So what does he tell us? There's goodness. He tells us do not be afraid. Tells us to go the right way. What he says, a willingness to suffer for my cause. You got to have a willingness to get out there and to go. He says, go. He didn't say, stay home and look at the TV set, did he? Why do you think that we're in such a state right now in this pandemic? What happened? What happened? Huh? David, we're his brothers. We are brothers in Christ, sisters in Christ. And we're to stand on what? On the love of Jesus Christ and the relationship God has given to us through Christ. We have to be a part of that relationship. And it needs to be a strong relationship. But when you think about the willingness to do good, the willingness to stand against the attacks of the world, we can do it. We can do it. May tickled me last Sunday. It was funny. You know, I gave you the option to wear a mask or not, and that's up to you. I mean, you know what your health is, you know what you're like and everything. Last week when we started church, the police department drove through. Basically, I got ready to run and tell everybody, put your mask on, you know. Afraid somebody's going to catch us. Let me tell you something. Don't be afraid. Be zealous in what you do. Have the intensity to stand. Be enthusiastic about God's word. Be enthusiastic about your Christian walk of life. He said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. He said, put him right here. Put him right here. We were in Sunday school this morning, and he talked about circumcision of the Jewish nation, right? And he was talking about the uncircumcised, okay? The thing is this. When they talk about circumcising the heart, what he meant is this, that you cut away the bad stuff, okay? We got to get the bad stuff out and put the good stuff in. That's what we got to do. We got to put more of Jesus in here. That's what we need, more of Jesus. We've got to get alive to Christ. And he said this, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in who? With meekness and with fear. Now, I want you to realize something this morning. Meekness doesn't mean that you're weak. It doesn't mean that you're downtrodden. It doesn't mean you just give up. A lot of people think when you meet, you know, you just quit. Meekness is strength under control. You hear that? That I'm able to stand up and somebody can get in your face and you can stand there and all of a sudden it's just like you don't move. It's like those kids that were up at D.C. when that Indian guy got in front of them beating on the tom-tom and he stood there. You know, he stood there, didn't he? He didn't give ground. This is a young boy. He didn't give ground. Why? Because he believed in what he was doing was right. We as Christians have to quit giving ground. You know, somebody gets up in front of you, first thing you want to do is back up. Back up? No, you stand your ground as a Christian. You stand on your beliefs as a Christian. You take the goodness of God and put it in your heart, my friends, and you look people straight in the eye, and you tell them, Jesus loves you, and so do I. That's what you got to do. It's a whole lot easier to tell somebody with calm words than angry words. What does angry words do? Stir up strife. Calm words do what? It keeps it down. What he said. See, the calmer you are when you talk to somebody, it's hard for them to come back at you. If somebody's standing in front of you saying, I'm going to knock your head off, I'm going to do all these kind of things to you, you know, and you just look at them and say, Jesus loves you and so do I. He may hit you anyway, but just remember this. What did the Lord say? Stand your ground. Stand your ground. That's what we got to do more, stand the ground as Christians today. We need to stand on what we believe. How many of you believe that God sent his son to die for you? That's the question. Do you really believe that? And even in this text here, it says a willingness to suffer, a willingness to do what God wants you to do. It's another thing, to suffer for the sake of righteousness. And then he said this very plainly to us in this text here, don't give up the ship. Don't give up the battlefield. Stand. Now, I know some of you here may think to yourself today, well, it's not affecting me right now. Everything in this world that happens in our nation affects you directly or indirectly. It affects you. From the statues at Monument up in Richmond, to D.C., to the park, so everything is trying to be destroyed so you won't remember anything. I mentioned this last week, but I want to send this home to you today. When Russia fell, when the Tsars fell, and all them other crazy people, Mussolini, Stalin, and all that rest came in, the first thing they did was get rid of the statues in history. Now, you listen to me. Wait, ain't no history. They got rid of all of it. And then they started to suppress the people. You can't read this. You can't do this. You can't go to church. We're going to take care of you. We're going to give you money. You're going to have your hand out. We're going to give you that little pension that you need to keep you going. Hitler did the same thing in Germany. The first thing he did, he got rid of all the statues. He got rid of all the Bibles and books that people were reading. Why? So he could suppress them and control them. Don't you see the picture today? Now you see it? What's the difference? The people gave up and they came in. My friends, if we give up, they're going to come in. That's what he tells us in his word. He said, look, he said, don't be afraid of these people. Stand. Remember who you are. You're sanctified. You let that meekness show that you're not a filthy person, but that you're strong in your commitment to Jesus Christ. We see it. And it's not millions of people doing it, even if it's only a few hundred or so doing it here and there. But it only takes a few to turn the world upside down. See? It only takes a few Christians and a few churches to get together and to turn the world upside down and all of a sudden say, enough is enough is enough. I read an article the other day, broke my heart. Man went to town, was going to take his son or somebody to the movies or whatever, or he was doing something. And there was a riot. He was shot in the back of the head, sitting in his truck. He's on life support. And the article read this way in the beginning. Enough is enough. It is time for us to stand up against a sin-sick world and live our lives according to Jesus Christ. You see what's happening? As long as a Christian sits back, we'll keep losing ground day
after day after day. Look what he said in verse 16. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed, he said, that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. You see where they want to get rid of Christ now? Did you see that? They want to pull down statues of Christ. They want to break all the windows in the church that has the pretty stained glass in it. This is what they want to do. Why? Because everything that stands for good, they don't like. This is the world we live in today. Where are we? We have to protect the biblical principles God has given to us. We have to protect our Christian walk in this nation that was found on that. And he said, for it is better. Now, that's what I want you to hear. It is better if the will of God be so that we suffer for well-doing than for what? For well-doing instead of evil-doing. In other words, it comes down to this. Last thing. Are you devoted to Jesus Christ? Do you have a devotion for Jesus Christ? Are you sold out for Jesus Christ? I'm just asking the question. Are you? Huh? Amen. That's what we got to be. Are you? We have to be sold out for Christ. Why? Because we need to stand up and to be set apart from all that's going on around us. And my friends, you are set apart. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you are justified through his blood. He was condemned for you and for me. And if Christ was condemned for us, what is it that we should suffer for his cause and stand up and say, enough is enough to the people trying to destroy what God has put together in a little over 200 years. Man, we're so blessed that we don't even realize it. We're so blind because we can't see. My friends, we need to speak up and people need to listen. What we have to say. You see, the world doesn't like that. But I'm not concerned what the world doesn't like. Last of all, I'm concerned about what God likes. I'm concerned about what he wants. Not what the world, what God wants. And he wants the best for you and me. And he gave his best so we could have the best. We are blessed beyond all measure and all recognition. Because he is the righteous one that gives us life. He's given us abundant life. We are to live a faithful, dedicated, and committed life to Jesus Christ. This is the gospel. This is truth. And God said in the end of this book, in the very end of this book, and I'm going to give it to you in plain English, he said in the end, enough is enough. And he's coming again. Be there. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Shay, would you go ahead and play softly, please, on the piano? I want you to think for just a minute for yourself. Where are you right now? Where are you? Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. That's what it comes down to. He did. He gave his blood. He gave his life. He gave his all so that what? So that I could have a whole new life and a new beginning. I want you to think about this one. Think about yourself right now. Do you have what it takes to stand against the evildoers of this world and let people know I am who I am because of him, Jesus Christ? Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for all that you do and continue to do. You're such a gracious, loving God. And I pray today that in this service, if anything has come about, that people will understand that we're living in some desperate times, and we know that. But even though all the terror that may come our way, I can stand on the gospel of Jesus Christ, knowing that he's coming back again and will reign and rule upon this earth for 1,000 years, and then there'll be that new heaven, that new place we're going to, that new Jerusalem. We'll walk those streets of gold, bond together, and fellowship in love. Be with us now. In your name I pray. Amen.
Would you please stand this morning? I think on the screen it says, I hear the Savior, strength indeed is small. The words are a little bit different, but just this is Jesus paid it all as we sing this morning.